Welcome to the Hot Stove Society Radio Show. I'm Chef Tom Douglas.
And I'm Thierry Rotiro, the chef in the hat.
Thank you for joining us. This is our first week without some of our Patreon watchers.
That's right.
Online. We miss you guys. Hopefully you're sitting here getting the show in the normal way, which is through the air or through your podcast or something.
Yeah, hopefully you didn't dish us.
We have two great hours today, as a matter of fact. It's going to be super fun. We're excited to have our first official show. I've been trying out the name, you know, over the last couple of weeks, but it's officially now the Hot Stove Society Radio Show. We have some new folks helping us on the production side. We're going to miss our friends from Large Media. They were fantastic. That's yep. LARJ Media. If you're ever going to start your own podcast, they're a good place to start. And so Tina and her team are taking a break. We're going to miss them. We have lots of exciting ingredients on today's show and innovative food and wine experts on today's show. We're going to have friends from Seattle and all over the country. It's a national show now.
We're going to
say it's a national show. We have Chef Roki Moniki from our Ballard Warehouse team to talk about his upcoming Kenyan barbecue pop-up. Plus, I might try to convince him. You know, I had a little tasting with Roki 2 weeks ago, and God, the slaw was unbelievable. It was the best slaw I've ever had. So maybe he'll give us some hints
curious.
How to take vegetables out of your own garden and make a slaw out of them. We know that the COVID gardening is blossoming everywhere. Seeds were in short supply this spring. Now what are you harvesting? Now's the truth, right?
Every day for Luc, we harvest all our edible flower and all our herbs. Basil, you name it, we have it. It's all coming from my garden.
Yeah. So we're going to try and think of some unique ways to use those herbs, maybe that aren't just pesto, right? We're going to try and think of some new ideas for that. We're going to welcome back Chef Wayne Johnson of Fair Start to talk about Savor Seattle's new TV Seattle Stars box, which I know I'm in. Are you in that box?
Not yet. You said TV Stars. I mean.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I think I don't qualify yet.
It's a super fun box put on by Savor Seattle. We'll get to that, but it's... It really is all about raising some money for Fair Start and helping them with their mission to feed people that are hungry in our community and down on their luck. So we have a very good show. I'm excited about that. There's some questions I'd like to get answered sometime today. Like, would you subscribe to a restaurant? Did you see that article?
Yes, I thought that was interesting. I'm not sure I quite understand the final twist to it, but I do understand the membership idea sounds really cool.
So I think the twist in the idea is like a CSA, a community supported agriculture box. So I think the idea is if you have a local coffee shop in your neighborhood that you go to every day, to give them a more consistent cash flow, you would just pay a subscription fee, and then they offer certain services for that. So, for example, let's say I went there's a coffee shop called Mabel in my area where I stop once in a while, not very often, but once in a while, because I like to make my own pour over in the morning. I'm my own coffee shop. But anyway, so if I were to, say, subscribe to that coffee shop for $10 a month, they offer me something back, right? And this isn't Mabel. I'm just using them as an example, but... let's say that I get unlimited coffee refills for the month for my $10 subscription. So that gives them a nice little basis of money, and it gives me a little promotion to kind of go there more often. Maybe I buy a breakfast month more often. Maybe I somehow turn that $10 a month into maybe a more consistent $100 a month in spending. So
that's where the sidekick is in buying something else. Yeah. You know, it makes total sense.
Well, and it creates a customer loyalty.
Right, of course.
So that's, you know, used to be you just, you know, have a hole punch on a card, right?
Right.
After you get 10 punches, you get a free coffee.
Right.
The subscription thing is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Julia Child.
Yes.
You and I are doing the reopening of the Hot Stove Society Cooking School opening event on August 16th. It is a celebration of Julia Child's 108th birthday. You always do an impression when I make her name.
Oh, you are so marvelous, Tom.
Okay, yeah, I've heard better. I've heard you do better than that.
Bon appétit.
Yeah, that's more better. We have lots of stuff planned for her birthday week, but the cooking class itself here from the Hot Stove is already sold out. It sold out in less than 24 hours. But we're doing a Julia Child snack box on top of that. Which is, Amy, if I remember, it's like $50, right? Yeah, it's a $50 snack box, and you just pick it up at a serious takeout. And so that would be another way to maybe celebrate Julia's birthday for the week. And a favorite segment amongst our listeners, we continue traditional food for thought tasty trivia challenges at the end of every show.
We have to keep that. That's too
so
good.
So we've got new producers. Amy Richardson's here being an associate producer. Madeline Dow is an associate producer. Mark Goodnow, who was our video producer under the Patreon group, is now recording the show and is producing the show here in the studio. We have so much fun stuff happening. We're going to miss our friends from the last 18 years, but we're going to plow forward. Why not?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's COVID time.
Anything that you've had in the last week, food and beverage-wise, that you think is...
Spot prawn. Spot prawns.
You had that last week.
I know, but something new. But well, we have squab.
I
did some squab this week with a homemade sauerkraut that was in the fridge, left over from something we did at Lule. And I had that sauerkraut. I'm like, I gotta use that sauerkraut. You know, sauerkraut lasts for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really sauerkraut weather right now. But
no, it's
you know
not.
What? It's. I mean, yesterday was perfect because it got cool off. And some people were actually eating on the patio at Luke, even under the rain, under the umbrella. That was really cool to watch. But squab with a little sauerkraut and a beautiful, deep, rich black peppercorn sauce. Mm. That was really, it's very much wintery and fall.
I was going to say, that does sound like fall to me, which is perfectly fine. Yesterday,
didn't it feel good? It did get cold for a minute.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was perfect. It actually comes out on the right day. So, but yeah, I forget how much I love squab in many different ways. Perfect, beautiful red meat breast that are, you know, just two small breasts, beautifully medium rare, which is the secret of squab, I think. Don't cook it all the way, because otherwise it becomes livery and very gamey. And
I think people don't respect that enough about squab. I mean, most people don't cook squab, but if you are going to cook it, it is okay to eat it rare, and it is much better
rare. It's the only, I think it's the only way to eat it, personally, but...
Yeah.
Because I think it doesn't taste any better when you cook it. If you cook it all the way, it definitely goes livery and strong and much more of a gaminess.
And if you're going to make a little black peppercorn sauce like you did, what I like to do is I brown the bones a little bit.
Right.
And then I add some chicken stock out of my freezer over that stock with some red wine and reduce that down. Right. And that's how you make a quick squab stock and have it still
and
be
sauce.
Rich.
And it finishes. Once you reduce it down, it gets that beautiful richness of the sauce, cracked peppercorn, juniper berries, bay leaf. You give it some nice depth and finish it with butter.
Up next, we got Roki Moniki and Kenyan Barbecue on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. It's the Hot Stove Society Radio Show. I'm Tom Douglas.
And I'm Terry Roturo. I love the new name, Tom.
Thank you, thank you. We're coming to you from the Hot Stove Society, 4th and Virginia, downtown Seattle. We're not taking guests at this point. We're doing virtual classes starting the 16th of August because that's the way life is
right.
At this point. So if you want to know more about taking a class at Hot Stove, just go to hotstovesociety.com and you'll find out the whole lineup of classes. Super, super fun. Starting with the Julia Child class, which is already sold out. Chef, did you know that?
No. How did that happen? I didn't even tell anybody yet. Oh, wow.
I wrote a newsletter to my my customer base, and it sold out in less than 24 hours.
Wow. That's cool.
That's awesome.
Now we have to do the work.
I know, exactly. anyway, it's time to introduce you to Chef Roki Moniki. He is one of the chefs on our team out there at the Sirius Takeout in Ballard, and he is... a big fan of barbecue. And so we talked about, we've been doing these dinners, Annie's dinner this week, Annie Elmore, who
looks
is actually
so good.
Cambodian with a Vietnamese accent, I would say, in her cooking. I don't mean to say that she has a Vietnamese accent, like in her cooking.
Right.
Her box has been going all week and it's been super fun. Are you excited by seeing what Annie's doing?
Oh, it was so great. The noodle box was really good.
Uh-huh.
And also she made some egg rolls as well. The Vietnamese ones.
The little fires. What do they call? She calls them firecrackers.
Firecrackers
rolls?
With a little dipping sauce as well.
Uh-huh.
Tom sauce. So good.
So good. It was very fun to do, and that's wrapping up Sunday night here. And then your dinner starts on Wednesday, right?
It starts on Wednesday, but we're doing
preparing for your dinner.
Yes, prepping starts on Wednesday, and then I'll be smoking on Thursday as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Friday will be the barbecue day.
The barbecue day.
Yeah, starts at noon.
Super cool. I can't wait.
I know.
We did a tasting last week with Roki, and it was really good. So let's go top to bottom, Roki, about your background, your heritage, and what you're bringing to this barbecue, and kind of the influences from your cooking career that have helped make it what it is today.
Yeah, pretty much. And thank you for letting me be here today, Tom and Thierry.
No problem.
Appreciate you. My background, I come from Kenya, born and raised, and then I grew up mostly in Delaware.
Yeah!
That's right. You know what it is, 302 all day. And then,
that's a little bit of a transport, like from Kenya all the way to Delaware.
It was a little transition. It was a little hard, but I grew. That's where I grew up, and I enjoyed it there.
Cool.
And then
So let me just stop. You went to Delcastle High School, right? And I went to St. Mark's High School in Delaware, and they're about maybe not 5 miles apart.
Yeah, very close. Yeah. Kind of rivals a little bit in soccer, and we always beat y'all.
Oh, no way.
In my day. I don't know about y'all days back then, but I know we always beat y'all in soccer.
Okay, now we'll go back.
All right. Grew up in Delaware. I went to high school there in Delcastle, just like Tom said, and then moved down to Texas in Houston. That's where I went to college, and went to culinary school down there, and then got into cooking there mostly. That's where I started cooking. I was cooking in a steakhouse called Killen Steakhouse, and then he started doing barbecue, and that's where like my start of love of American barbecue started. He had a barbecue pop up for about a year or so, then started his Killen's barbecue restaurants, which are infamous in Texas right now, in Houston. Huge. I love that guy. He's one of the guys that put me on to barbecue and learning about it. And ever since then, just the central style barbecue has been my love, and together with all the things that I've done in the last years.
I have a question. What is it you love so much about barbecue? Is that the actual, the meat, the protein part, or is it everything that comes with it?
I'll say everything that comes with it. Cool. The time that it takes, the people that you meet, how the finished product, because it takes such a long time to smoke the meat, prepare it, and all that. But at the end, it's always a gathering, mm-hmm. no matter what. Mm-hmm. Every time there's this barbecue, it has to be a gathering, and there's also people coming together and enjoying food. And that's my biggest goal. Like,
yeah, nobody makes barbecue for one.
Exactly.
So tell me how you married that experience with your classic Kenyan experience.
My classic Kenyan experience, I would say growing up in Kenya and like growing up here in America as well, we would always go to a slaughterhouse and get a lamb or a mutton, which is an older sheep. We slaughtered that, and then we'll have it home, and we'll grill it and smoke it a little bit, and then finish it off on the grill. And then coming from Texas, I saw that, and I was like, let me see what I can do putting it together with like my own Kenyan style and finishing it off. So now I use the post oak wood, and I'm mesquite as well, coming from Texas style. So I'll smoke for about maybe six or seven hours on the shoulder, and then finish it off like we always do in Kenya on a straight open fire grill. Mm-hmm. And I usually use mesquite because it's my favorite kind of wood.
Right.
It's really sweet, and it comes off really well as well, for lamb as well. Like, it's real nice and smoky.
It's also beautiful heat. Mm-hmm. I think mesquite is a great heat.
Yes, and as opposed to it's really nice and even, so it comes off perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the menu.
The menu I have planned for the Friday for the barbecue pop-up is going to be smoked lamb shoulders with my Roki rub, which has a little coriander, a little cumin in there. And then
are you competing with Tom Douglas rub?
definitely. A little bit here and there, but also I'm doing my own little rub as well, which I've kind of I came up with throughout the years, and some pickles on the side and some bread. The next thing I'll be doing some classic spare ribs, smoked and finished off on the grill with my Roki rub barbecue sauce and some pickles as well, and always some side of bread, and then my fet slaw, which is real herbaceous, comes off just going back to Annie again. In the Vietnamese culture, which has influenced me a lot, being around here in Seattle and also going to Hawaii and seeing people use herbs such as cilantro, mint, fish sauce. Those I've brought together, like to put in my slaw, which is real nice and herby. It really comes together with a smoked lamb. I think it pairs.
You know,
really
it was
well.
The best slaw I've ever tasted, and it really did taste Vietnamese to me. And that's mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear you say that was part of your influence, because I thought it was crazy. It's like, this is the best slaw, but it tastes like it's right from Vietnam.
Yeah, it is. It's the influence has been some of my favorite foods in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Vietnamese is the best. And then I have some cream corn, straight influence from Texas. And then I'm going to be doing some skumawiki, which is a Kenyan dish, which is stewed tomatoes with collard greens, Swiss chard and maybe some little spinach in there, and all that's going to be coming from Prosser. All the greens and my produce is going to be coming from Prosser, all the herbs as well. So we're incorporating the Tom Douglas aspect into the meal as well. And then I'm going to be doing a sandwich with the smoked lamb, and then finishing off with something sweet, which is going to be banana pudding, classic Texan, which I love. It's simple. It's delicious. Everyone loves it. And that's what I'm going to be doing.
All right. If you want to take part in Roki's Kenyan Barbecue Night on August the 14th, that's next Friday, starting now, you can go online and just purchase a meal. We'll give you a time slot that you can come. You tell us what time you want to come, and then we'll just fill in the time slots, and people can come and not have to wait in line, and everything's all settled.
It sounds fabulous. I mean, you're going to sell out in a minute on this.
I'm excited. And we do have picnic tables outside, too, so, and we have a party going on. It's going to be music turned up. I'm going to be out there. Grill's going to be going on. And, you know, I'm going to always be having a little fun. So
Yeah.
And so everything's socially distanced. We ask people to wear a mask. We have a big area to kind of hang out in. There's maybe a dozen tables and so that are all separate. And plus, you can just find a spot to sit down somewhere.
Have a good bottle of wine or some good beer.
Exactly.
Our Serious Takeout is right there in the Brewery District of Ballard, 52nd and 14th Northwest. So it's going to be super fun. Roki, congratulations. I'm excited to see you in action on the dock.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, super cool. Coming up next, Chef Wayne Johnson is going to be here. He's a Fair Start chef, and we are featuring the Savor Seattle's TV Stars Box, which will help raise funds to help feed needy people here in the Seattle area on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Welcome back to the Hot Stove Society Radio Show. I'm Tom Douglas.
And I'm Thierry Rotiro, the chef in the hat.
It's hard to get used to that new name.
Hey.
I'm excited about it because it's a more national name.
Yes, and hot stove means what we do every day.
Yeah, exactly. We have friends all over this country. We are hoping to get on the show, so we're going to work on that as we go. Right now, Chef Wayne Johnson from Fair Start has joined us. Just a short walk from your home base, huh, Wayne?
Man, it was beautiful out, too. No rain. I mean, I like the rain, but it was nice just to walk up the street and
We tape on Friday mornings here, and so the rain was on Thursday, and it was cool and
it cooled off fast,
right?
So Wayne, we've got a new box. I know you and I are partnering on it a little bit. Serious Pie is doing the Northwest Pizza Kit. There's going to be some Omochi donuts in it, a few things. Tell us about the Savor Seattle box and what it is doing to help you feed the hungry people of Seattle.
You know, thanks for having me on, guys. It's exciting, one, that, you know, Angela came to us and said, hey, I'm going to do these box. Angela from Savor Seattle. And wanted to do this box and actually sell a box and then actually give a box. So what we do is emergency feeding right now throughout the city. And every time somebody purchases a box, then we actually get to feed somebody as well. So it's really exciting. It's great that it's a Food Network Star kind of box. So that a lot of the folks here in Seattle, a lot of the chefs have donated into this box. I think it's 7 or 8, maybe even 9 different items in that box that you get to receive. I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I missed out, I think. Teddy, you did too. I missed out because I was actually on vacation when she was trying to put this box together.
Hey, you know what? I'm sure there'll be a round two. I'm not worried.
There you go.
They always come and ring the bell. Don't worry.
Yeah, so we've been doing a lot of emergency feeding since actually COVID hit. I think we're at almost like 956,000 meals since March.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're pumping it out. Our guys are making a whole lot of sandwiches, a whole lot of box lunches. And then we also do for, like, the school district, the SPS, we do hot meals. So what we do is we do a frozen meal, and then they're able to, like, take it and then microwave it and have a hot meal as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
that's how are you finding all the to-go stuff? That's something that we're running into out at the Seattle warehouse, or the Ballard Warehouse Kitchen, is the to-go ware is really getting expensive and scarce.
It's expensive. It's hard to get. Mm-hmm. We've actually had to shift on some of the things that we're using just to make it work. Mm-hmm. I worry a little bit.
Well, I mean,
it's almost like PPE, right?
It is.
Yeah.
I think it's not a subject that's in the front line right now, but I'm sure it will come out at one time or another soon. How much garbage we've created since COVID has hit us. I mean, the shift of taking all these to-go food has created a lot more garbage than it used to.
It's absolutely true.
I mean, and especially in the hot food section. I mean, you can't put, you know, like Boeuf Bourguignon, you know, we used to sell 2 a week to go. Now we sell 100. Well, if everybody does the same thing, that's a lot more containers out there.
Well, yeah, pick up, you have takeout, everybody's going in a box, right? Yeah.
Right, and it's getting like, I remember back in March, I called my box guy because I do a lot of boxes with Rub With Love.
Right.
So I said, you know, I need kind of a meal kit box, just something cheap, blah, blah, blah. He said, well, I've got these boxes. They've been in my warehouse for a year and a half. I'll sell them to you for 14 cents a piece, but you have to take them all. So it was 2,000 boxes. So great, I'll take them all. I got a warehouse. I can pop them in there, 14 cents a piece. And 4 pallets of boxes show up. I'm like out of them now.
Yeah.
So I go to reorder. Well, you know, that was a special deal. You know, it's like they're $1.40 a box.
Oh,
now.
My God.
10 times more.
So how things have changed. Okay, so this is a Seattle TV Stars box. It's 10 chefs and artisans who have been featured on the Food Network. Their star power is well deserved, as you know. That includes me. And when you buy a box, you donate a meal for every box sold. Seattle, Savor Seattle will donate a meal to Fair Start's Emergency Relief Program. And that provides nutritious meals
across our
city. Local delivery will be on Wednesday, August 12th, and Thursday, August 13th. So if you go to SavorSeattleTours.com and order online, they can figure out how to get you your box. So, Wayne, we were talking about what people were in the box. So Kathy Casey is in the box. She's got her Dish Delish French seasoning salt.
I'm down with that.
I'm not sure what makes it French. Do you, Terry? What if somebody said
thyme?
Oh, just the herb thyme.
You know, remember I always use thyme. Thyme.
I thought maybe you had to use the word sel instead of salt to make it French.
No, yeah. It's probably because she used herb de Provence or something.
Yeah, maybe so. All right. So also in the box, Woodring Orchard's Parker's Pickles pickled Bloody Mary asparagus. Have you tried that?
I have not. I'm down to do it, though.
I am, too. I love pickled asparagus.
Yeah, it's actually a good... I think it's one of those vegetables that does really well pickled.
Uh-huh.
That's a good reason for a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, no kidding.
I love that. We have in the box Coro by Salumi. So, you know, the Salumi folks sold to a different group, and they've renamed the salami Coro, the brand Coro, C-O-R-O. Uh-huh. I've been buying it at the Ballard Market when I'm there, and it is delicious. It's beautifully wrapped. It looks like the Palio the Coro, but it's beautifully wrapped, and it's differently because it's cryovac on the inside, so it lasts forever in your fridge. It's always there when you want a late-night snack.
Go pick some up right away.
Go pick some up right away. Victrola Coffee, Empire Blend, Whole Bean Coffee. So if you don't have a grinder at home, just gift it to somebody else. But don't let that stop you from getting the box.
That's right.
Macrina Bakery's in the box with a cinnamon swirl brioche bread and rye crostini. Now, I am a big fan of their Greek crostini. It's got it's like an olive baguette that's sliced thin and then toasted. Have you had that?
Yes. I've had their olive bread many times. It's delicious.
Yeah, this is the olive bread crostini, though.
Right.
It comes in a little
pack.
I love that.
Yep.
Yeah, really good. So Beecher's Handmade Cheese, we all know about Flagship Reserve. So that's, you know, the regular cheese is 18 months age. The reserve is minimum 24 months. Super fun. Marination Station, they're one of the hot restaurants maybe 10 years ago, went from a food truck to a brick-and-mortar place.
Yep.
They're going to do kimchi fried rice, which I get once in a while because it's right across the street from the Palace Kitchen. Next to you, right?
Well, you know, we have to keep reinventing ourselves, right?
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, awesome. Osteria La Spiga is doing tortellini making kit for two. That's kind of interesting.
That is cool.
So it's going to be fresh pasta and stuffing?
Yep. She's amazing.
She is amazing. Yeah. And, she's been around for quite a long time in town. Omochi Donuts are coming from us. You know, we're starting pretty soon a partnership with Met Markets, and we're going to be doing some food for them. And they're going to get our Omochi Donut 6-pack, and so this one is going in the Savor Seattle box.
Those things have gotten me in trouble, Terry. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you,
you like them?
Can't stop eating them, man.
Yeah, they're good.
Tom, they are good.
They're so different, right, because they're not flour. They're all rice flour, so they're gluten-free, and they are cute little decorations.
And the flavors are good. The flavors are really delicious. Yeah. It's very nice.
Good. And they're all natural.
Right.
Because that's me. I'm an all natural dude, right?
Yeah.
Except when I'm eating.
And it's baked, not fried. Baked, not fried.
They're baked, not fried. And of course, a Serious Pie pizza kit. So one of the things we're going to sell at Met Market are Serious Pie pizza kits. And so you get a fully wood fired crust with some sauce and some cheese, and it's going to be easy to buy and easy to cook at home. And
so is the pizza already together, or you put it together yourself?
You finish it yourself. The crust is already cooked, and it's in a little bag, and then you'll get in the box is the sauce and the cheese. And, honestly, you can go into your fridge like we do. What's in your fridge?
Right,
anything you want to it.
Yeah. Can you do that on the grill?
You could, but you would definitely on indirect heat.
Because
the crust is already cooked.
Get that little smokiness.
Yeah.
I love it.
Good. What are you growing these days?
Oh, my goodness. Salmon.
Are you?
Salmon. Oh, yeah. We're doing a lot of crab. We're getting a lot of crab up where we're at now. So
where's that? I want to know. What's your secret crabs?
Up on Samish Island, man.
Oh,
you
nice.
Have to come up.
I
see
will.
Me. Visit.
And so you're grilling salmon, and what are you doing with your crab? Just picking it with butter? Or?
Yeah, we're picking it with butter. Uh-huh. I mean, it's so good just as it is.
Right.
Don't want to mess with it. Don't want to mess
it up. No, but it's
up.
Good on the grill. It's delicious.
All right. Mm. Chef Wayne's been our guest from Fair Start. And again, Chef, Savor Seattle. Let's see, SavorSeattleTours.com. Remember, they're the ones who did the Pike Place Market tours and things like
right.
that. So go to SavorSeattleTours.com, and you can buy a Seattle Food Stars box, which helps you guys, which helps your hungry belly. And go ahead.
I was going to say, just real quickly, a little bit of history. 2006, myself and Tom were the first on the Seattle Tour list.
Is it? Is that true?
That's right.
Wow.
Serious Pie and Andaluca.
Andaluca.
That's right.
Yeah, and they used to come to Lule and do the appetizer at Lule when they did the tour through the city.
Yeah, you know? But that was like 2018.
Oh, well, I didn't open until 13, so yeah, it couldn't be 2006 for me.
Late to the party. All right, Wayne, you're going to stay around for the end of the show when we do our Food for Thought Tasty Trivia Challenge.
I'm going to try to.
All right. I hope you have some good prizes, because Terry and I fully intend on taking you down.
And, which never happens, but that's okay.
I know. The more I talk about it, the more I lose. That's the way it usually works. And I did wonder, you brought up something, and we just have a few seconds, but for those of you who remember at the Mayflower Hotel, the little Andaluca restaurant, that tiny little restaurant around the corner, what a fabulous history you played there. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I had so much fun there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super good.
Thank you. All right.
We'll be back. It's time for our Family Recipe Box new segment that's going to be celebrating the rich history of each of our individual families on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Welcome back. It's the Chef in the Chapeau and Tom Douglas here at the Hot Stove Society Radio Show from the Hot Stove Society in downtown Seattle. If you want to talk with us or leave us a note, go to Seattle Kitchen
Is it still called Seattle Kitchen?
Well, we still have that website,
Which
is what most people are used to, and also Hot Stove Radio. You can make an announcement of your intention to send us a question at any of those places. Let's talk about the recipe box.
Okay.
If you've ever been to the Hot Stove, you can when you walk in into the bar area, you'll see I have a collection of old recipe boxes that I bought online from different places or at garage sales. I'm a junker. I don't know if you know that about me.
No, I do know that. Were the recipes in it, or was it just a box?
Well, that's the real bomb, when you can find recipe boxes with the recipes in it.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, at estate sales, the kids have taken the recipes because that's what they are worried about, and
they don't really
care about the box. I think the box and the recipes belong together. It's like a cookbook with notes.
Correct.
When you think about it, right? So I think that they belong together, and that they're awesome when they do. And sometimes online you'll find them, like on eBay or something like that. You'll find them all packed with recipes. So I have that little collection out on the wall, and it says, "Don't let the recipe box die from you." And it's one of the only original quotes I've ever said, I think. I don't know. Maybe there's more.
Maybe not.
But anyway, I think the theory is that even when you're a young parent, like right now, my daughter's 30, right? I'm 62. My daughter's 30. When you're a young parent, you have a responsibility to teach your kids how to cook, just like you have a responsibility to teach them how to balance their checkbook, which they don't have anymore. But now they go online and they balance it, you know, virtually. And there's certain things that you have to teach your kids to be I'm adults that they are,
right,
and the best people they can be. And so to me, one of the ones that gets forgotten is the recipe box.
Right.
And it's not just the recipe. Like, there's a recipe for my grandma Schnecken, right? Her German cinnamon roll pull-aparts. There's a lot more to that than the recipe.
Well, there's a whole life story.
Yeah, there's butter and there's cinnamon, and then there's getting up early in the morning, and then there's the smell that got me out of bed, right?
The memories.
And then there's
huge.
The red-handled rolling pin, right? And then there's my grouchy grandma,
yeah,
who was at her most happy when she was making these. The other times, she wasn't the happiest right. person ever, right? So there's just so much that goes with a recipe. And I think sometimes people forget to hand that down. It's your job as a person, as a human, in my mind, mm-hmm. to hand that down to your kids so right. that when you're gone, they have some history to their life. They have some meaning right. other than getting up in the morning and going to work, right?
Absolutely.
They have some reason why they get up and get going. And so I was curious for our listeners to go to our Facebook page and tell us what that recipe is. And tell us what the story is behind
right.
that recipe.
Right.
Tell us, even if you want, exactly how to make the recipe. But I want to know who taught you, right? I want to know what recipe box you're working from.
Right.
Was it your grandma's grandma's? Was it your own that you took and you maybe you had a Julia Child recipe and you took and made it your own
right.
by doing a little alteration to it? I want to know the story behind your recipe, because that's what I say. Don't let the recipe box die with you. It's not just the recipe. It's the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you have any? I know your mother is more of a scratch cook is my guess.
Correct.
I bet she hasn't opened the cookbook in maybe ever in her life.
Well, no, my mother has a few recipes, especially for the pastry section.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she makes a cat car, or when she makes, by now she knows how to make the cat car without even looking, but.
What is that? Cat car?
It's a cat car is a pancake.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Cat car. It's yeah. a 4-quart, basically. Anyway, so when she does pastry, she does look at recipes, and she has a book, kind of like a folder kind of thing. And I have no idea what that is. I haven't seen that in 20 years, for sure. So I would definitely need to, you know, she's getting out there too, and just go, you know, where did you put that recipe folder? Because that's a very important piece of folder. A lot of that folder, especially in the old days, I think people were picking pages out of magazine. My wife has a whole folder about 3-inch thick of, like, clips of magazine, newspaper, of recipes. It's the same thing. Kathy does.
Mm-hmm.
And she often goes, oh, yeah, that recipe is right here. And I'm like, really? It's like in that mess. But, yeah, I think those recipes are extremely valuable. I think they're a piece of history in the family. And I think they're very, very valuable to keep around. Even if you never make it again, I don't know. It's part of your heritage and it's part of your life.
Right.
I mean, and I think it's very important to cherish that.
Now, your mom's mom must have been in the thick of World War II.
She was both one and two.
One and two. Do you remember your mom ever saying, this is what my mom used to make during the war? I mean, is there a story behind her pound cake?
Yeah, she did. No, not the pound cake, but the other recipe, like, for example, the bugne, which is like a fried puff dough. You know, you fry it. It's a dough that you make.
Like an elephant ear.
Yeah, exactly. Same concept, yeah. Except puff, you know, hollow on the inside, mm-hmm. powdered sugar on top. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge treat on the farm when they would start making bugne, because they would roll the entire table. I mean, the table was huge. They would roll the entire table with dough and then make those cutouts in a triangle. I mean, not triangle. Kind of triangle shape. And they would fry those in a big marmite. You know, we had a big black cauldron with four legs on it, and mm-hmm. they put that on the fireplace. And they would fry, you know, a bunch of them at a time, and then take them out, put them. And as kids, we were like, oh, my God.
Like beignets.
It's same idea as beignets.
Same
exact idea. And then you had the jam on the side of the table, and then the homemade jam, apricot and orange, if we were lucky. We had orange jam. Those two things would be on the table with some chocolate. Oh, my God, that was such a treat as a child. Oh, la, la, man, I remember this. And it was a big thing because everybody would be involved. The men would be drinking their red wine.
That they had made.
And they had made, yes, my grandpa, famous red wine.
Yeah.
I have vinegar that tastes better than the wine he used to make. You know, R.I.P., but please. And anyway, the men would drink the wine, play cards, the my grandma and my mother would be rolling all that dough on the table, and they would be frying the dough, and then the kids would be anxiously waiting to just eat eat the whole thing. Uh-huh. And to me, those are it's almost like you really badly want to repeat that kind of experience with anybody, because I mean, it was your family most importantly, but it's so priceless. I mean, I have such a vivid memory of that. And of course, as you get older, it becomes even clearer because I make it my own. And
yeah,
you know,
do you have yourself a cauldron? Have you purchased one of those?
No, but I don't have a fireplace to cook with a cauldron like that, like we did on the farm, because it was just that fireplace was on $300 a day out of the year.
Yeah, did I don't ever hear of you talking about war stories, about what your mother went through, what your grandparents went through. Is that just something that isn't talked about in Europe as much as we like to think about it in America? Because I think we are always coming at it from the fact that we were considered, you know, kind of saviors in that,
right,
in that realm.
Well,
so
I mean,
we like to pat our...
In France, the saying is, if the American didn't come, we would all be speaking German. Mm-hmm. And that's the basis of it.
Does that come through in your food culture, though, in your food history?
There is no... No, I don't
really.
Think...
Not really, okay.
Because I think the German actually really enjoyed... The German that were in the chateau where my mom grew up on the farm, they were holding the chateau, and they were very much farmers from Germany that didn't want to be there any more than anybody else. I mean, that's wartime. So they would come at night. My mother remembers being sitting on the soldiers' knees and, you know, just treating them like their own children. So there was all kind of different experience going through, and the food was definitely a part of life very much, because the farm obviously could farm some food.
Right.
So
coming up in our second hour, we're going to talk about what to do with all those herbs that you've farmed, and how we plan to celebrate the great Julia Child's 108th birthday this week on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Welcome back. I'm Tom Douglas, and this is the Hot Stove Society Radio Show.
And I'm Thierry Rotier, the chef in the hat, co-host, and very happy to be here every week.
Every week.
Yep.
Tape on Friday mornings, and show goes out on Saturday and Sunday. Hour 2 preview. I'm excited. We have another full hour. What to do with all those herbs? We're going to do a quick little rundown on some, maybe some different things than just making pesto with them. Happy birthday to Julia Child. It's her 108th birthday. We're going to celebrate all week. From Netflix to CSA boxes, subscriptions, are they here to stay? But would you like to subscribe to a restaurant? Don't know about these kind of things. We're going to talk about that. And, of course, we're going to wrap it up with our Food for Thought Tasty Trivia Challenge. Chef Wayne Johnson Estate to help maybe
beat
help
us up.
Us.
Beat us up.
Yeah, maybe help us win that. Okay, herb garden.
Yes.
I'm going to do my first one, which I don't think people think about much, but is a really good way to use up many of the herbs. Not, I shouldn't say many, but it's another way to use up the herbs that are left that maybe you can preserve in a certain way. So I'm going to say herb salt. Now, in the marketplace out there, you can find salt in any flavor. There's
right.
just no getting around the salt market these days. But you can make your own herb salt. So you just take, if you've got kosher salt, or I don't really use iodized salt at all, but I don't like to use Malden or something, the big flake, because
right.
I'm going to beat it up a little bit. But if you want to make, like, say, a rosemary salt, so you, in your mortar and pestle, if you don't want your salt to get more fine, then you go mortar and pestle with your rosemary, or you mince it.
Right.
If you don't want it smashed, you just take a knife and just mince away. If you want it smashed, then mortar and pestle it. Then you stir in your salt and let it sit, and you've got rosemary salt.
Correct.
And if you want to put it in a blender and do it, now you've got rosemary salt, but you've broken down your kosher salt into much finer grain.
And right? you also have your rosemary in the salt, like really fine.
Yeah. So either any of those work. But one of the reasons it's nice to have an herb salt like that is what we call a finishing salt.
Right.
So let's say you've cut your big prime rib and you've got beautiful seasoning all the way around your prime rib. And you've got this big slab of fairly raw meat
pink
in the
meat.
Center that
yep.
hasn't been seasoned at all. And so a finishing salt, you know, a little mixed herb salt, is a great way to season the inside of your rib roast.
And
same thing when you roast a chicken, right?
Right.
When you cut through that big breast of chicken, you've got some seasoning on the skin on the outside, but you have no seasoning on the chicken breast at
correct.
All. So now you slice it up, just put a little bit of your herb salt as your finish, and that's a great way to use up
correct.
The salts that are the herbs that are left in your garden.
And to add to this, compound butter you know, a very easy way to use herb.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a delicious way to finish any dish, whether it's a piece of salmon, a chicken, a steak. It doesn't matter. It's a nice finishing. You take that, you roll it in your freezer in a small log.
Well, let's start at the beginning, because I think this is a technique that you go to quite a bit. And right. Tell people how you do it. So let's start with 1 pound of butter.
So you've got
a mixer.
1 pound of butter. You get a food processor, you know, of some kind. You just blend your butter so it's soft. Mm-hmm. And then you add fresh herbs. So if you have, I like to do a little combination. So
to be clear, though, this isn't a place for basil.
No. Because it's going to bruise.
So certain
any herbs that are fresh, like, you know, actually chives do hold very well. Mm-hmm. If you take, and I would recommend that, it's not because you're using a food processor then you put the herbs whole in there. Mince your chives first. That you're only blending the thing together. Once your butter is soft, I would recommend transfer it into a bowl.
That's key.
And then mix your herbs with a spoon or a spatula, mm-hmm. so you're not bruising all these herbs to death. You know, because those herbs are very—they're fresh and they're very releasing right away. Mm-hmm. So, same thing. If you were to do basil, I would recommend doing whole leaves of basil or half leaves of basil, and then folding into the butter. And then when you use it, you just cut, you know, your butter through after it's been frozen. So it's much easier. You can cut right through the leaf and throw everything.
You keep jumping. So I want you to go back to where you are.
Chives.
We've got soft butter.
You get soft butter.
We've minced some herbs.
We minced some thyme and some chives.
Any shallots, anything?
Nothing.
Lemon zest, orange zest?
Salt and pepper. That's it.
Okay, so now we've got soft butter, salt, pepper, and some chopped herbs.
Correct. And then you put the whole thing, your butter is soft in a bowl. You put all the herbs together. You mix the whole thing thoroughly with a spatula. Mm-hmm. And then you roll it on a piece of parchment paper. So you take all your butter, you put on a piece of parchment paper. You take a long spatula and you push against the paper. Mm-hmm. So you end up with a nice little log of butter and herbs. Yeah, about
2 inches around? An inch and a half.
You don't need to go that big.
Okay.
And then you put that in the freezer in small sections. So, you know, you don't need to put a 2 pound of log. You don't need to make a log of 2 pounds, you just cut it into small increments, mm-hmm. then you will take out. And I would recommend dating those butters.
A Ziploc, right? Because if you just put it in the parchment, your butter's going to taste like your freezer.
Right. The first night you leave it to freeze, you leave it alone. And then the next day, once it's solid, you put it in the freezer bag.
Okay.
And then you date it. And then every time you make anything, then you cook anything, it could be vegetable. Like let's say you steam some broccoli. You take that butter out of the freezer, you slice it thin. Drizzle that over your broccoli. It's going to melt into there. You're going to have a wonderful butter, herb butter, straight into your broccoli. It's going to flavor it right away. It could be a rice. It could be pasta. It could be a chicken, some fish, anything. Those sliced butter and fresh herbs are delicious. The other way to use it is oil. If you take a nice finishing olive oil, you take some lemon verbena. I have lemon verbena in my garden. You take the lemon verbena, you crush it gently in your hand, you put it in the olive oil, and you let it sit on the counter for about 3 days.
Okay.
Your whole oil is going to change flavor. It's going to have that beautiful lemon-scented flavor from the lemon verbena. Now, you can use that, some cracked pepper, you put that in there, and then you have this wonderful seasoned oil that you can use for finishing with pasta and with...
Great on fish.
On anything. I mean, it's on anything.
Now, do you have to strain out the lemon verbena?
No.
Just leave it in there.
No, because you're not using 5 gallons of olive oil. You're using a cup or two. You crush that lemon verbena in there. It's going to take you less than a month to use it. It's fine. So that's my recommendation. Make sure that the herbs are in the oil, though. They don't come out of the oil.
And then how do you do that? How do you keep them from floating on up to the top?
Well, you got to have enough oil in the container.
Okay, all right.
And not too much verbena. Make sure you break your verbena down.
It goes a long ways.
Oh, it goes super long.
Fresh herbs go a long ways.
Yeah.
Now, if you were to put a clove of garlic in there, you're introducing trouble, right? Doesn't that?
Well, the problem with raw garlic is it ferments, especially with normal heat, like room temperature heat. So it's not I don't recommend it. Now, if you blanch your garlic, that's a different story, but you're not going to get the same flavor.
Not going to get the pungency out of it. Those are a couple of ideas on how to deal with all the herbs that are kind of enormous amounts in your gardens right now.
I didn't even mention edible flour. Same idea.
You're going to want this herb oil. You're going to, you know, which you could freeze or you could put in your fridge. It would last much longer. You're going to want this butter in the middle of winter when time comes for a taste of summer. Up next, it's happy birthday, 108 years to Julia Child on Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM. It's the Hot Stove Society Radio Show. I'm Tom Douglas.
And I'm Terry Rotiro, the chef in hat.
If you want to know more about us, go to hotstoveradio@tomdouglas.com. Send us your email and ask questions or ask you know, things that we might use on the show, name it. Or you can go back to our old site, which is Seattle Kitchen, / on Facebook there. So we have another segment here, which I'd like to talk about our friend Miss Julia Child, turning 108 years old. We are continuing to keep alive her legacy, as we have done for many years here at the Hot Stove. We've had a celebration dinner for her. And so this time we're doing a couple of different things. You and I are getting together to kind of celebrate the reopening of Hot Stove,
right,
doing a cooking class virtually on the 16th of August. And that is sold out. You can go look at hotstovesociety.com and see other things that are coming up. But the Julia Child cooking class is sold out at this point. We are doing a picnic box in honor of Julia starting on August 12th through the
16th.
Which is Wednesday through Sunday, which we have our normal pop-ups during that
right,
kind of window. And so that's going to be super fun. They're $50.
Yeah, and it's a nice snack box. It's a very nice menu.
It is a nice menu, and I think you're going to jump in on it, right?
Yeah.
And we'll make it a radio show tribute box.
Exactly. I want to help sell this because Julia was such a grand dame, and as a French chef coming from France, she stunned me. I mean, she was so incredibly accessible. She made it so... I just love the approach that she had to mm-hmm. the French cooking. I mean, she was so matter-of-fact. And she was not taking it... She was taking it extremely seriously, but not seriously in a chefy way, more in a... This is how it's supposed to be done if you want it to taste good, but not in a, oh, I'm going to lose my life if, you know,
yeah,
the chicken falls on the ground.
I mean, what was so impressive about her was she dared laugh at herself. Which
exactly.
There aren't very many French chefs that I remember at the time.
Right.
You mean, you grew up in that feudal system, right?
Right.
Tell us a little bit about your
growing up. No, I don't need to tell you. It sucks. I don't need to go back to that.
So you were an apprentice and with an impressive chef, and
right,
that's kind of the way it was thought about as a job and right, as a profession. It was like the chef was God,
right,
and you better do what you're told and keep your head down and not mess up.
Correct.
Right? So,
and even if you didn't mess up, you get in trouble.
Yeah. Julia was just the opposite. She's mess up. She
right,
said, well, we can fix it.
Yeah.
We'll just do it again. And that was what was so charming about her.
Yeah. And I think it's all you should access something you don't know. I mean, you know, later on in life, I start touching a little bit with Asian food and everything. And it was the same thing. It's like, don't be afraid to mess up. It's mm-hmm. okay. I mean, mm-hmm. you're not going to be cooking, obviously, Vietnamese food. The first time you do Vietnamese food, you're going to be cooking your own version of it. Mm-hmm. You're going to learn to find and to discover how you get to those flavors you like so much. But you have to be a curious George, and you have to be, you know, passionate about what you're doing.
Right.
You know, and that's what she had.
And I thought Julia, I mean, if you were to transpose her life and her culinary career into today's environment where there's concern about cultural appropriation, there's concern about, you know, taking credit for things that other people started.
Right, right.
I still think she gave the French all the credit in the world.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She
yeah.
never once pretended to be French,
right,
although she spoke French, but
right,
she never once made it somehow hers.
Right.
She was more of an interpreter.
Correct. And she did a fabulous job at it. I mean, mm-hmm. very, very huge amount of respect for this grand lady because she's, and she, the fact that she took it to the TV and, you know, was still nonchalant about the whole thing.
They were so funny.
I mean, hilarious.
When
hilarious.
Everything opens back up again, you owe it to yourself to stop in D.C. and visit her home kitchen in the Smithsonian Museum, where they have, you know, all her pegboards. You know,
right,
her right. husband, Paul, had put up pegboards throughout their kitchen and outlined every tool in the kitchen so she knew where to put it back because he gets so frustrated with everything just lying around in a heap. She was awesome.
Yeah.
So our picnic box, if you want to check those out, go to Ballard Warehouse Kitchen or tomdouglas.com, and you can check out the picnic box. But they include, she does a nice little, I just picked some things out of her books, right? And herb roasted nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using almonds. And so basically you're taking the nuts and you're literally roasting them. You're like, you could do mixed nuts if you
right.
wanted, walnuts, pecans, almonds. We're doing almonds. I simply put smoked paprika on top, some herbs, and some olive oil, and then just slow roast them in the oven until they're toasted, but not overly toasted.
Correct.
That's the key. In that one. Salmon crepe roulade. I did that kind of thinking about you and your all your salmon roulades over the years that I've seen.
Yep.
With cream cheese. This one is just a crepe, savory crepe, yep. Egg crepe. And then we're spreading it with a little chèvre and then some lox.
Right.
And then roll it up and then slice it into nice little bite-sized portions. Yeah. Garnish with some
chives. Idea. Very French and beautiful.
Yeah. Another one, which is interesting, mushrooms a la grec. So,
see, when I was apprenticed, that was one of the recipes you had to learn.
But isn't that funny? Even you, as a French dude, was learning mushrooms a la grec.
Well, because I think then they tried to make it exotic or sound exotic by using someone from other country's name.
Yeah.
I mean, all it is vinegar, lemon, and oregano.
Yeah.
And white wine.
So the oregano made it grec, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not funny.
You could not tell it's Greek unless somebody tells you.
But it's a classic French recipe when
correct,
you think about it.
Correct.
Yeah,
yes.
Very Greek. We're doing a poached and chilled chicken breast. And as you know, I love Dijon mustard. Not as much as you do, but I've made my own version of Dijon mustard, a roasted, toasted shallot mustard.
That's a delicious
one. That's available in all the grocery stores. And I'm mixing that with some mayonnaise and some tarragon, kind of that. What would you call that in French, that kind of classic chilled chicken with a chilled...
The sauce itself is a combination of mayonnaise and... it's almost like a mayonnaise and aioli together in some ways. So what would you call it? I don't know. I would just call it a mayonnaise.
I was thinking just a cold mayonnaise sauce. I know there must be a French term for that, but that's kind of what that is.
Right.
And it's just a little something on the side. A baguette and butter, in your honor, sir.
Thank you, because you can't have a French picnic without bread and butter, that's for sure.
I was trying to decide.
Actually, if you only had bread and butter, that would be a French picnic.
I know, you wouldn't have to go any further, right? I was arguing with Amy, one of our producers. So she wanted to put a baguette and butter, and I wanted to put a jar of our shallot mustard in the box, but we couldn't afford to do both.
No.
It's only $50 this whole box, right? And so she went out with the baguette and butter.
She's right. You're wrong.
What I've learned is Amy is mostly always right.
All French people have mustard in their cupboard. Don't worry about that mustard.
Well, not everyone's French. That's buying this box.
No, I know. But most people have mustard in their home. Mm-hmm. They just don't have a baguette and butter. So,
included in this box is a bottle of bubbles. And so that's exciting. You know, so if you want to just grab the box at the kitchen and head down to Golden Gardens Park or head to your favorite park or head back home with it.
In the backyard.
Fun. Yeah.
No, it's totally cool.
So we have an amazing events page right now. We have been busy, busy, busy creating events at the warehouse. So if you go to tomdouglas.com and go to our events page, you can see the Tom and Terry box. We're going to rename it the Tom and Terry box. Well, I just think it's super fun.
We should name it the Hot Stove Radio box.
Hot Stove Julia Child tribute box.
Exactly.
Yeah, little snackadoodles. It's really intended to be kind of a cocktail hour, kind of snacky. Or lunch, or
a bottle of champagne.
It's available for a week. All those good things. We don't call it champagne. We call them bubbles.
Correct.
Because it's not champagne.
Correct.
Tell people the difference. But
the difference is one is not made in Champagne. The other one is made around the world.
Exactly. Coming up, would you subscribe to a restaurant or a coffee shop? We'll take a look at what one restaurant group is trying to do on Hot Stove Society Radio on Cairo Radio 973 FM. And we're back. It's the Hot Stove Society Radio Show. I'm Tom Douglas.
And I'm Thierry Rotiro, the chef in the hat.
Chef, would you subscribe to a restaurant? Would you go out for coffee probably every day at some point? Would you subscribe to your coffee shop, or do you just like to go in and pay for your coffee? That's the question on the table. Last week, New York writer Rachel Sugar asked just that question, right? If your coffee shop said, you know what, you come in here pretty often. If you give me $25 a month, whatever you want to drink, you get to drink, no matter what.
But it's
$25 automatic out of your checking account.
And the answer is yes.
I think.
Well, in the place where I would go, yes. We had the same principle when we opened Luke. Remember when we did the pre-buy gift certificate? It's the same concept. Is you're pre-buying into believing that this business is going to be a place you're going to attend, you're going to want to support, and they're going to give you something back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is not much losing proposition in that fit. You know, it's like, to me, if it's a business you're going to support, obviously, if it's somewhere you don't go, that doesn't make any sense. But if it's a place you go every day, like your coffee shop, like your hairdresser, like your, you know, places like that, and you go often, it is totally totally worth buying into it.
So the most common scenario like this that I've seen around is the CSA, the Community Supported Agriculture Box, right? And, you know, even Nordstrom has got a trunk box now where they actually just send you a trunk full of clothes to try on every other. Yeah, my wife gets a box every other month, and she tries it on. She keeps what she wants, sends back what she doesn't want. And they call it the trunk show or trunk box or something. So it's the same idea. I don't know if I would, though. I don't, you know, for me personally, I like the charm of going to multiple places.
No, of course.
I have some regular stops, but they're not all that often. And they're very different when I go. So if my $25 a month at a coffee shop gets me free coffee refills, you know, I usually only go to a certain coffee shop only once a month, maybe.
Right, sometimes.
I know there's people that have their routine and they go every day.
Yeah, and to me, I think
that might
make
more sense. And then maybe you can get a deal. But if you're getting for $25 what you used to spend $50 on, the owner of the shop is kind of gambling whether or not
you're going to buy something else.
You're going to buy something else, or you're going to
come more often.
You know, some other people aren't going to do it that as much, and so it averages out, right?
Yeah.
So. I don't know if I would be into that.
Think of something you do often. You know, something you do regularly often.
Okay, so I go to Tai Tung.
Okay, here you go.
In Chinatown.
Perfect
for,
example.
For my fish with Chinese greens.
So if
I go there.
So if Harry was saying.
Once or twice a month.
Yeah, so if Harry was saying, hey, why don't you buy a membership? It's $200 a month or $100 a month. I'm sure you would do it because you go, well, I spend more than that a month.
But I don't. Well, okay, let's say
it was $50 a month.
Okay, $50 a month.
Let's say he says, okay, give me $50 a month for membership. And we'll,
when you come, you don't get a bill. You don't get anything.
That's right. You don't get a bill you know, until you reach that point until you reach $75.
Well, I guess you could look at it like here's your value. You get $75 value for a $50 a month membership. Yeah.
I mean, that's what you would do. And to me, I think that kind of trade is actually better than giving a product. The refill of the coffee is fine, but the problem with that is if you don't drink a lot of coffee or whatever, you might not see the value in that.
Yeah.
If you only do one coffee a day, you might not see the value in refill, but you will see the value in getting two extra latte per week or two extra latte per month, whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? The sense of the value.
Yeah, I mean, we used to give like the Dahlia Bakery lunch card, right?
Right.
You order a soup or a sandwich, you get a punch, and then after 10, you get a free lunch.
Right.
That's a little bit different. I think the closest thing that I have is, let's say, my golf club membership, right?
Right, right.
That's my big splurge in life is my golf club membership.
Right.
I get charged $600, maybe it's $400, $400 or $600 every 6 months, and that's a food charge, whether I ever eat at the club or not. And the intention behind that charge is to give the club itself a budget in order to keep a chef and keep the breakfast cook and keep waiters and servers and restaurant managers and a wine cellar, whether or not their club membership uses the food operation ever, which is iffy, right? That's not I don't go there for the food, although the food is delicious at my club, but I generally go there to play golf, and then I'll have a whiskey or something afterwards, but I don't eat there very often. I have never, ever, ever in my 13 years of being a member there, spent my food minimum.
Right.
And so essentially what you're selling to me is that my membership at Luke gets me $100 a month in value for only $50.
Correct.
But if you never spend that extra 50 and maybe it's not even
perfect.
Spend the – it's perfect.
It's exactly what I want.
But is that healthy, and is it really – you're really – what you're doing is then saying, I believe in Luke. This is my way of supporting Luke for not – because I don't get there very often.
And you will, well, I mean,
I want it there when I do want to go there.
Correct.
So by supporting it on these other times, even when I don't go, I know that you've got a successful business.
Correct.
So, and again, I'm using Luca as an example, but so maybe that's the way to think about it.
It's a bit of a selfish idea.
It's like an artist,
ways,
like supporting an artist.
Exactly the same way. You're supporting something you believe in. And in most cases, you know, out of 100 people, I'm pretty sure at least 80 people are going to retrieve their money. They're going to come by and they're going to use it, which creates the place to be busy and to keep doing what they're doing, which allows the other 20% who only come every so often and don't spend all of it to be just use it as their own. You know,
that's fine. And I guess when you look at it saying, okay, Luke can't survive, that won't be an option for me if we don't do this.
Correct.
then that's an interesting way to look at that. Like, you're being a patron. You're a loop patron.
It's what membership is all about.
It's like the art museum.
Yeah, exactly. Exact same idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not buying the painting, but you're making sure that they have paintings and they have...
When you want to go look at them.
That is correct. When your friend come to town, hey, let me take you to Sam, whatever. I mean, it's the same concept.
Chef, I'm glad we talked this out. Because
me too.
I was like, no. I'll just go when I want to go. But if they're not there, you can't very well do that.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And if you like to stop after your golf game to have a little bowl of boeuf bourguignon, you might want to buy a little something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's the same concept. I mean, I have a few places. Like, if Bob Orr tomorrow was doing that, I would jump in a minute because I eat probably 50 oxtail bowl in a year. So I'm like, sure, I'll jump in it. You know, see, if it's a reasonable amount that I can afford and I can put down, I will make sure that place stays alive because I love stopping by and have a bowl of oxtail fur.
Yeah.
So, you know, just that.
Interesting. I've come around on that. It's certainly not for everything that I would do, but there are certain places like, you know, Tai Tung is the oldest restaurant in Seattle, certainly the oldest Chinese restaurant.
If your cleaner was doing that, it would be the same exact example.
What do you mean? Oh, my dry cleaner?
Your dry cleaner. Because you go there, you know, every so often you go there, so your money will get back no matter what. The whole idea is twofold. It's an investment.
Now you're losing me.
An investment. Well, there are people who go to the cleaner twice a week, every single week. Those people have an interest in supporting their cleaner to stay alive.
The convenient one near their house, you mean? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and then, you know, they get two free shirts, I don't know, a month or whatever it is that gets added value. Then you're like, sure, I'm going to do it. Plus, I want them to stay there because they're close to my house.
Well, the ones that are most obvious to me that people are joining are these subscription services like Netflix or Hulu, or where you might not watch TV for the whole month, but you still have your next Netflix account.
Correct.
And so that's kind of interesting.
Like the Mariners channel?
Does it go? Well, for example, I get cable. Literally, I get cable at my home for a lot of money just to watch the Golf Channel.
Yeah.
Now, if I could just watch the Golf Channel, I probably would just go with basic service and the Golf Channel.
Right.
It's like, that's just my nature, but I'd like to fall asleep to the Golf Channel. That's how exciting my life is.
And boy, would you fall asleep.
You know, I have this thing, some people count sheep, right?
Uh-huh.
I have a favorite golf course in Scotland that I've played many times, and I play it. When I can't sleep, I'm just rolling around. Damn, I can't sleep. You know, whatever. And then I force myself to go to the locker room to change into my cleats and my wetsuit, because in Scotland you play a lot of rainy golf.
Uh-huh.
And then I walk my way to the first tee, and then I hit every shot all the way through. And usually I'm sound asleep by the second hole. Sometimes I make it to like hole number six.
I would get so nervous, because when I play golf, I get very nervous because I'm like, I'm not good at it, so I don't relax as much as I should. I should think of the cocktail.
It's like counting sheep. That's what everyone says. Why do you play golf? It's so boring. It's like, well, it puts me to sleep. I love it.
It's a good
one. It's awesome. All right, one more box to tell you about before we break for Food for Thought Tasty Trivia. Dev Patel, our farmer who works with Jackie over at Prosser Farm, is coming over to do a vegetarian box on Monday. So this coming Monday.
Oh, awesome.
So looking forward to that. He's going to do sabji paneer tikka kebabs, grilled onions, potato, zucchini, peppers, all stuff that they've grown at Prosser Farm in Tandoor Spices. He's going to do a masoor dal. Dev makes the best dal. You know what dal is? Like
lentil
soup?
Yes.
Simmered with onions, ginger, garlic, tomato, and spices. Our very own Prosser tomatoes, our very own Prosser onions. Fancy ki sabji, which is, I have no idea if I'm saying it correctly, but sauteed green beans with crushed tomatoes and mustard seeds.
Mm.
And then a fire roasted eggplant with caramelized onion and cumin. Some basmati rice and a cucumber yogurt. Non-citrus tarts, Crawford Farm blueberries. This is going to be a super cool vegetarian meatless Monday box. If you want to be part of it, just go to tomdouglas.com. Part of that. Up next, it's Food for Thought Tasty Trivia Challenge with a secret guest. Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Back. It's the Hot Stove Society Radio Show. I'm Tom Douglas.
And I'm Thierry Rotiro, the chef in the hat.
Time for Food for Thought Tasty Trivia Challenge. Chef Wayne from Fair Start has decided to hang with us.
And little also, does he know.
Yeah, little does he know that he has to pony something up if he messes up.
I'm just wondering what's going to be taken. I'm ready.
All right. Okay, good. Madeline Dow, our new producer, content producer on the show, is going to be administering our quiz. Welcome to the show, Maddie, for your first time.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you. And I wish I could be there in person, but we have an exciting lineup of trivia questions for you guys, and it is going to be in honor of the beloved Julia Child's birthday.
Ooh.
So we have 15 trivia questions for Miss Julia.
Today, you know, Terry, we're going to play for a donation to Fair Start.
Exactly.
So if I lose today, I'm going to donate $100 to Fair Start.
And if I lose today, I'll buy a box, right? This is how you can do this. You can buy a box.
You buy a box and someone gets
exactly
a meal.
I'll buy a box and somebody will get a meal.
That's right. So that's SaverSeattleTours.com if you want to buy a box.
Correct.
So if you lose today, you're going to buy a box.
Yeah.
So you're actually going to win. You're going to get all the food.
Yeah, but I'm going to donate. No,
you're a very generous guy.
He has to give the box
away. Oh, he's going
to
give the box. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm giving the box away.
All right, fine. And Chef Wayne, if you lose, what's going to happen?
I'm going to cook for 50,000 people.
In your name?
In my name.
All right.
Ooh,
I like that.
Oh, my God. 50,000?
I need to get to the 100,000, the 1 million.
Meal mark. Yeah. So, Madeline, who are we playing for today?
Today on our Facebook page, we are playing for fellow listener John Takamoto, who was following us last week on the show.
Nice.
Excellent.
All right. So who wants to go
okay,
first?
Okay. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
You want to go first?
Yes. I will start.
Okay. First question. According to PBS, Child used a whopping number of pounds of butter during the time she filmed Baking with Julia. Your options are 153 pounds, 453 pounds, or 753 pounds of butter.
I'm going to go with 453.
Oh, the answer is 753. Yes. The program aired 4 seasons.
I didn't want to go there, but yes, you're right.
She loved her butter.
Okay, number two. When building her home in Boston, Julia Child, who is 6 feet 2 inches tall, had to get custom-built what?
Stove.
Countertop.
That
too.
Wow, you are striking out here.
Well,
it's okay. Harsh new critic here.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay, Madeline. It could have been.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number three, Julia Child created the most interesting recipe I've ever clipped, she said. A classic Flemish dish with chicken nestled in a silky sauce of cream and egg yolk. What is it called?
Poulet à la Normande. I'm going to go with that.
That is not correct. It is chicken waterzooi. Water Z-O-O-I.
Okay, that was super fun.
That was okay, well, good. So I didn't know that one either. 3-0, I like it. Let's rise up here.
Finish this famous Julia Child quote. In France, cooking is a serious art form and a national what?
I'm going to say a national pastime, but I would say that's probably not the word that she's using. So, a national treasure.
National sport.
Sport, yes.
I'm sorry. You look like you're getting a couple boxes here, Terry.
That's okay. That's all right. That's okay. I don't mind giving boxes away. I just mind not knowing the answer to your questions.
One more. Which actor portrayed Julia in the parody of the French chef in the famous Saturday Night Live skit? He was a Ghostbuster.
Yes.
I'll give you a clue.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. I knew that one.
It looks like you got one right. And who's going to play up next?
Wayne is next.
I'm ready. Let's go. Let's do this.
Okay. Julia Child's famous quiche Lorraine recipe surprises cooks as it does not call for what?
Cream.
Ooh, close. It does not call for cheese. It calls for bacon and eggs, a lot of cream, ground diaper and nothing. But it does not call for cheese.
Darn.
Close. Okay, Julia Child. During World War II, Julia Child helped cook up an invention that is still in use today. Which was it? Tupperware, Spam, shark repellent, or frozen food?
Let's go with frozen food.
It is actually shark repellent.
Shark repellent. What?
That is so relevant.
Well, you know, she was a spy, right? Well, she worked for the spy network.
She was, yeah. She worked. She was too tall to work and to actually be on the field in World War II, and so they had her in various labs to help design certain things to help out with soldiers in the war. Okay, even Julia Child appreciated the magic of Costco. It has been said that she would sit under the umbrellas at the Santa Barbara Costco enjoying what?
Cup of coffee.
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs, correct.
Oh,
that's what they sell at Costco. The only thing they sell is hot dogs.
Hot dog, pizza.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Wayne is a 3-0 as well. My 3-0. God.
Uh-oh.
Come on, Wayne.
Going down.
Get on the board.
Okay, how many recipes are included in Julia Child's book, The Mastering of Art French Cooking? Your options are 266, 524, 651, or 835.
I'm going with B.
524, that's correct.
I got one. Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
Okay. Finish this famous Julia Child quote. If you're afraid of butter, use what?
Oil.
Cream.
Cream.
Dang it, Kara.
Oh, yes. It's a famous quote. Okay, we're tied.
So you got one correct as well. I'm sorry. I made these too difficult for you. Do you want Tom to go up next?
I'm the only one left.
Okay. Julia Child attended Le Cordon Bleu Culinary School in
True.
Paris. Where did the school get its name from?
A famous chicken dish.
No, 16th century French knight who apparently wore blue sashes. I will give that to you. When cooking mushrooms for many French recipes, Julia Child always advised to give mushrooms plenty of what?
Sauté time.
Room. Don't overcrowd them. Yeah. For perfect sautéed mushrooms every time.
Well, you just said the word sauté. Oh, you win.
Paris's Le Cordon Bleu Culinary School served as the set
after
for Audrey Hepburn's character in what 1954 movie?
Gigi.
No.
Sabrina.
Sabrina.
Despite being a relatively expensive cookbook in 1965, Mastering the Art of French Cooking, Volume 1, did well commercially, selling over 100,000 copies in less than 5 years. How much did the cookbook retail for in 1965?
Sold for $9.99.
$10.
Oh! Is that a gimme? Is that like golf?
No,
you go?
That's a
you got penny?
Oh, man, that was so close, Tom.
Last and final question. This famous Julia Child recipe calls for a fourth cup of cognac, almost a pound of Gruyere, and 8 cups of homemade beef stock. It also happens to be the last dish that Julia had before she passed away. What is it?
Soup à l'oignon. French onion soup.
French onion soup. Congratulations, that is correct.
All right.
Oh, my God. We are all tied.
Okay, so we're all tied, and it's all
yes,
for a good cause.
Correct.
Oh, I got 2 correct? All right, so you'll have to buy a box.
I'm buying a box.
And then Chef Wayne is going to cook for 50,000 people in the name of our contestant.
Here we go.
All right. If you want to be part of the show, you can join our community on Facebook and look out for our new name, Hot Stove Radio. That's also, you can go to Seattle Kitchen, too, either one. And the show is produced by our team at Hot Stove Radio, Madeline Pennington and Amy Richardson. Sound and production by Mark Goodnow from the Production Factory, and editor Sean, don't call me Del Torre. And remember, if you miss any episode of Hot Stove Society Radio on Cairo 97.3, you can listen via podcast. Just subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for listening and have a great weekend.